bring us you're tired, you're poor, you're... No, don't even do that. We're talking immigration.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for April 29th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me, and that's... hello, everyone, and thank you, Janine, for remembering. It's like you had a little mental skip.
For the introduction. Oh, yes, because it feels like it's been a while. It hasn't, but it feels
it's been
like
a week.
It. Well, it's raining and snowing and stuff, so.
Yeah, it snowed yesterday.
I don't even know what time of year it is now.
Today is April what?
29th.
And, it snowed yesterday. A lot.
No,
day before yesterday.
Yeah, Saturday was just snow. So I keep thinking it's winter.
Huh. So you're going to hibernate.
Yes.
Hey, listen. I did a series on immigration. We're going to jump right in. I just want to restate my position on immigration. I'm for it. Immigration is good. Immigration builds economies. They build cultures. United States would not be the United States without immigration. And so, and the whole optics, as it were, of tearing up families who are trying to get here or escaping from Central America from these horrible regimes that are now being run essentially by thugs and gangs. Those are the type of people we want, the tempest tossed that we want to come here. And are they all, do they all turn into, Alexander Graham Bell, who was an immigrant, by the way? No, they don't. But some do. And most come here to work hard and live the American dream. I'm always amazed, Janine, by the power of the American dream. Of how people would give up everything, their language, their culture, their town, everything they know to come here because there's that promise of a better future. And those are the type of people you want coming to your country. On a very practical, very selfish side, immigration also builds economies. And let me explain that. They buy more people. That means more capital, more spending. They grow economies. And that's how our economy has grown over the last century and a half, quite frankly, is because of immigration. So I'm very much for it, and but like a most thinking people, I also think we need to, if you're a sovereign country, you have to have a sovereign border, but have a small L liberal immigration policy attached to that like we had at the turn of the 20th century. And I know people have talked about that, and you've mentioned it. I'm throwing it your way.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting for you to get to something so I can read some.
Well, you and I have talked about off the podcast, and we talk about how people talk about they had quotas back then,
right? And they did not. They did that later when they were getting too many people from southern Italy and countries where maybe the people were a little darker.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done some genealogy, and our families just came through, and they asked your name. They asked how much my great grandfather asked how much money he had in his pocket. I think it was $5.
Yeah, something like that. But they didn't. It didn't seem to matter. Some had a lot less. So I don't think
$5.
Yeah, some they didn't. That didn't seem to matter. It wasn't like you have to have $20 for us to let you in, or that you have to have someone to go to. They asked who you were going to see, but not everybody had someone.
Yeah. So
and they certainly didn't check.
No. So. And as I've mentioned, I'm sure, numerous times before, three of my four grandparents were immigrants, and I love them very much. And they love this country beyond measure, and they were terrific American citizens and made this country better in their way. Hell, they gave you me. So and they gave you Prickly City, so you can be grateful for that. But let's jump into the comments. Do we have any that...
We've got a lot of comments.
Okay.
D.D. Wiz says, babies in cages, ripping screaming children from the arms of parents, legally applying for asylum, locking them in cages, doesn't keep track of the children, deports the parents, and then pays $750 per child per day, which should buy a luxury hotel suite for each child, to Bethany Christian Services, an adoption, quote-unquote, child trafficking agency owned by Betsy DeVos, who reaps these billions from Trump, and then charges again to adoptive parents who are literally buying stolen babies from the Trump/DeVos child trafficking ring, which I kind of looked that up, and
yes,
that's not
true. I was going to ask, how much of that is true?
Well, it's not true. I couldn't find anything on the $750 per child per day. The only thing I could find on that was that's how much the tent cities cost, which is like, whoa, because they had to get counselors and... You'll have to hire staff for that.
Okay.
But first of all, she does not own Bethany Christian Services. She contributes to it. She gives money. It's a charity. She does have an in-law who sat on the board for a while, and that's it. And apparently, from what I've read, they are not giving those children up for adoption. Okay. They're waiting to reunite them, and I don't know how much money they get from them. And I'm not saying that the service is necessarily a great and wonderful service. It's just this part here does not appear to be true.
Okay, well, I'm glad we took care of that. So, yeah, next time, how did you check it out? Snoop?
Yes, I looked online. Snopes is the one that said that she does not own it and she does not financially have any financial gain from this particular institution.
Okay, what else?
So, Ignat says, in addition to that, they lost them. They took babies from their mothers and don't know where they are. That part's very true. Yeah. They don't seem to know where most people are.
The fact that we're going to reunite them. Really? An American government that really can't do a hell of a lot well or good or mediocre is going to do this thing, and we're going to trust them to do this thing that's rather important.
Right. So they don't know where some of the children are, or they don't know where some of the parents are. Just, they can't get them together. Z51 says, separating illegals isn't a new thing. How about Obama?
Oh, God.
And yeah, that's not true. They did separate some families, but it was usually if they felt that either the parent was really not the legal guardian of the kid and it was some sort of child trafficking, or that the child was at risk. It did not start, it didn't really go crazy like this with all the separating until the zero tolerance.
Okay.
And let's see.
I got to go off on a tangent here. I mean, I get this all the time. The what about? That's not what we're talking about. You know, if you're talking to your child, which apparently that's who we're talking to, if you're talking to your child and you say you spilled the maple syrup all over the floor, and they say, well, what about, Scott? He spilled the chocolate last, 2 months ago. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about here and now and what is happening now.
Good. So let me bring this up because this kind of bothered me. This Christopher Shea says, because one side says, yes, we can probably improve our border security without having to build concentration camps. And the other side says, booga booga, scary brown people. And people like Stantis look at this and say both sides are equally bad. I don't know where he got this from the cartoon, because that's not what you were saying.
No.
But that's the same type of thing as people are saying, well, it's all false equivalency. No. When you bring up both sides are bad about something, it's either sometimes the same subject, sometimes they're bad about this, and the other side's bad about that.
Right.
But
right.
You're not ever saying that because both sides do something wrong, that makes it
no,
okay.
And in this instance, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I got to be honest with you.
No.
I say unequivocally for a week
that
our immigration policy sucks. It's wrong. It's wrong-headed, and it's probably evil. So there's not a lot of wiggle room there for me to say, but the other side. I do say that we have to have sovereign borders. I think that's an important point to make in this discussion. And then you go forward. Something as simple as we have sovereign borders. That's what we did when our grandparents came to this country, our great-grandparents came to this country. Is they went through Ellis Island or some other port of entry, and they had to fill out a form, and they wanted to know where you were going. They wanted to know that you were here, and then you could go forward. So you were here legally, but the legal was so broad and so simple and so easy to live with that, it wasn't, you showed up and you just told them stuff and you walked in. The zero policy thing is a bunch of crap, in my view. And I happen to like immigrants. I can't say that enough.
Now, Nance19 OPED says, the U.S. has contributed a great deal to the instability of the countries in Central America that the refugees are coming from. Trump cutting funding for these countries will just make the situation worse.
I don't know if it makes it worse or better. If, to tell you the truth, I think it's a push. I don't think if you send money to Nicaragua that Danny Ortega is going to give it to anyone other than Danny
Ortega. Right,
because
you're just giving it to bad regimes anyway.
That is not going
it's
to
not
go.
Going to the people.
Now, humanitarian services like Doctors Without Borders, for instance, I mean, that makes some sense. And those are the ones that aren't being allowed into these countries. That's where the America can step forward and say, we insist that you let this humanitarian aid into your country, or we're going to do worse things than what we're doing now. And I guess that can be sanctions. That's the point, and that's the problem. And to our great disgrace, the people who are making these arguments now, the people who are against immigration today, are the same people who in the 1930s and early 40s turned boatloads of Jews trying to leave Germany. They weren't, being shot at necessarily. They were being put into ghettos, free housing. But to our shame, to the shame of this country and other countries, and Mexico is one of them too, who turned these boats around and would not allow these people safe harbor. Shame on us. Shame on them. And if we continue in this current course, then shame on us.
So bookworm, oh, cut?
No, go ahead. Let's do bookworm. We're close with bookworm.
Well, actually, I think this is a nice one. I'll close on these. There's been some nice conversations between Cheapskate and Rob 43, kind of like debating back and forth on issues. And Cheapskate says, I think it's safe to say 45 has brought out the worst in both parties. To which Rob 43 says, you have a point there, but maybe it's constructive to learn what we need to change.
Yeah, I think I think it's really been constructive to learn what still lurks in our country. And I didn't know it did. I got to admit, I'm just naive, and maybe I live in my own bubble, as we all do. Yeah, the racism, the anger, the anger. I did not know was there in this volume, and it is. And I think now that we're seeing it unsheathed and in the light of day, as it were, I think we're recognizing now that this is bad. It's bad. Anger doesn't make you feel good for very long. And that's where we are right now. So I think we're going to segue back to being reasonable, thoughtful human beings and try to treat each other with some decorum and some empathy. And at least that's my hope. And I know human beings well enough to know that, yeah, the pendulum will swing back that way. And we're,
hopefully soon.
And there's good people out there doing good things, okay? I mean, there truly are. So let's try and focus on that this gloomy, gloomy Midwestern day. And allegedly it's going to be nice this weekend.
Woo.
That's what they keep telling us. I don't believe them.
You'll believe it when you see it.
Yeah, I didn't tell you not to be cynical people. I'm just telling you to be optimistic. As you say, I'm what, the most cynical optimist you know?
Yes.
So on that note, thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer. Thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for letting us use their equipment and posting the podcast and being wonderful all the way around. And especially to you, thank you for listening. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you certainly can. Just go to gocomics.com/pricklycity. That's gocomics.com/pricklycity. And register, and you get free stuff, and it's awesome. And they're not a real pain in the rump, so they're not going to be emailing you every 5 minutes about, oh, you have this fabulous poo-poo platter deal they're making. I just like saying poo-poo platter, I have to admit.
It would be kind of interesting if we got a deal for one.
It would be, okay.
Yeah, especially in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to the people at Go Comics, but gocomics.com/pricklycity. Leave a comment, and maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. And if you want to contact us directly, you can at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. One last time, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.